Our second scripture lesson today comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. We just heard a version of it told through puppets. Now listen to God's word in the Bible. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning once again. I want to say hi to those listening and worshiping with us on Facebook Live or YouTube and on the sermon podcast later in this week. Today I want to tell you the story about how I met my wife. You want to hear that? People ask me all the time, you know, where did you and Lisa meet? And I will tell you today in brief. I was in seminary back at Princeton in New Jersey, and I had a friend from high school who lived in New York City. And she would call me sometimes and say, "Hey, I'm having a gathering or a barbecue at my place in the city. You should come up." And I would tell her, "Well, you know, I work at a church on Sunday morning, and I work in southern New Jersey. And so to be at a party on a Saturday night in New York and then to get back in time, it's not a good look. It's not going to work out well for me." So I didn't go. And then one time, I was in the last semester of my last year of seminary, and I was in between classes. They hadn't started yet. I hadn't started my work. And so she called, and she invited me to come up to her apartment for a party, and she pulled out her best line of reasoning. She said, "You've got to come. There'll be cute, single, Christian girls there." And so I got on the train, and I went. That's a quote. And it's about an hour train ride from Princeton to New York City. And so when I walked through the door, the first person that I met was Lisa Barger. And I found out later that it was a setup. And she and our friend Jen had made this plan to get me to come to the city so we could meet, which we did, and I'm glad we did. Wow. So for me, as a young seminary student, hearing the description of who would be at this party got me interested. It kind of got me interested to go even before I knew exactly who would be there, the name of the person I might meet. I was drawn in just by the description. And in our Bible story today, in the book of Acts, we hear about somebody where the adjectives and description of who they are is so interesting, it's so different, it's so thought-provoking that we want to pay attention, we want to get to know them better, we want to get closer. This is the story about a person known to us as the Ethiopian eunuch. Raise your hand. Anyone heard of the Ethiopian eunuch before? Have you heard that story? Yeah. Yeah, if you've been around church, you've heard this one. It's famous. We never learn the name of this man, and we never see him again in the Bible. This is his one moment. But we know a lot about him. We might know more than we want to know about him, in a certain sense. Philip is sent by the Spirit of God onto a road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is down on the coast. And along this wilderness highway, he meets a man that I want to describe for you today. First, he's Ethiopian, which means he's African, obviously, probably from modern-day Sudan, which is south of Egypt, not modern-day Ethiopia. But he is black African, ethnically different from Philip, so he stands out. Next, he is also sexually different because he's a eunuch, which is a person who has been castrated. Now, it's possible that this man was born that way. That could happen. But more likely, he was actually had this done to him so that he could work in the royal palace, to work for the queen, and to be among the women of the palace. So most likely, he became a eunuch as a young boy in order to get this, what was seen as, a rare opportunity. He is a court official for the queen. He's in charge of her whole treasury, maybe like the treasury secretary. He's someone who is clearly financially or numerically literate. He's been trained in how to make wise investments, how to time the market, how to balance his stock portfolio. Sound familiar to anyone? The story tells us he's sitting in a chariot and he's reading. So unlike 99% of the people of his day who have to walk around in the dusty, dirty roads, he is driving in style. And it's one thing for you to have your very own self-driving mode Tesla. He has a chauffeur who drives him around, so it's a lot better. He has servants who work for him. He's literate, he's able to read, he owns a scroll, which is like a luxury item. Who is this man? In those days, people did not have their own Bibles that they could put in their pocket or bring to church with them. So maybe the scroll was a gift from somebody who gave it to him. Maybe he bought it with his own money. In either case, we're hearing about a person who's very high status for his time and place. Don't get it backwards about this Ethiopian eunuch. He was a high status individual. We're learning about, and all that we're learning about him makes him very powerful and important. But in one area of his life, he didn't seem to have much power. It says that he went to Jerusalem to worship. He went to worship in the temple. So he's some kind of a God-fearer, a proselyte, a convert, someone maybe who's heard about the God of Israel and says, I want to know more about that God, or I want to follow that God. Maybe he's a spiritual seeker of some kind. And so he's in charge of a lot of areas in his life, but in this area, his spiritual life, he's not. He needs some help in how to live a life with God. And so the Spirit of God sends Philip into this scenario. Philip runs up alongside his chariot. He overhears the man reading out loud, and he asks this question, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? He didn't say it's all Greek to me. I added that. But then he invited Philip to get in and join him in his chariot. So you could imagine this scene playing out differently, right? Instead of him coming alongside and saying, what are you reading? How can I? Get in my chariot. Let's talk. You could have seen Philip walking up with his megaphone, you know, pointing it at him like this. Attention, dummy. Announcement. You don't understand anything. You're one strange dude. Get out of here. He could have said that. I wonder how it would have gone. That's not how Philip approaches this man in the story. He leads with a question. He shows interest in what the man is doing, in what he's reading, what he's thinking about. He has curiosity and warmth, and it leads to a conversation. There's an Episcopal priest named Fleming Rutledge, and this is what she writes. She says, trying to understand someone else's predicament lies at the very heart of what it means to be Christian. There's something about listening before we speak, or asking questions before giving answers, or approaching someone with compassion rather than hard-heartedness or closed-mindedness. That is our approach in faith. We're being instructed in the way of Christ through this story. There's a hiking path near my house that I go walking on some days. You can walk right out of my door, cross some streets, and get up into the hills. It takes you out of the regular neighborhood, just full of residential homes, you know, four bed, two bath, 2 million, and up the green path into the hills. And along the way, when I'm huffing it and hoofing it and breathing hard, I find this little homemade sign on the path. And this is what it says: Dave's Way. See that? Dave's Way. And it feels extra special to know that someone just knew I was coming and wanted to show that I was there. It was just for me. It feels great. But it made me think that I wonder if all of us kind of would like to have our own little way in the woods, wouldn't we? And we're walking on the path, and it's like, well, here's your way, and your way, and your way. Having things set up just how we like it, rather than how someone else might do it. But when we're moved by God into an encounter with another person, maybe someone who's asking questions, or having a hard time, or dealing with something that's confusing, or hurtful, or difficult, we don't do it like Frank Sinatra, you know, my way. We do it in the way of Christ, and that is what Philip is showing us here. He comes alongside the chariot. He listens for what is going on in the life of this man. He's invited to get closer and to come inside this man's world. As he gets closer, they have an encounter and a conversation that only God could set up. They're from totally different backgrounds. The Ethiopian is a high-flying official. Philip is this guy with dusty, dirty feet who comes running alongside. They're from different worlds, but God brings them together. So I wonder what this story might be teaching us or telling us today. It could be that God is going to place you or me in a position like Philip, where there's someone that we meet, someone we encounter, and the invitation is to seek to get to know them better, to come a little closer. I wonder who the person is that the Spirit of God wants you to come closer to this week. Who's the person who's struggling, has uncertainties, maybe needs someone to talk to share with, to confide in? Maybe you're the right person. Maybe you're the right person to come near to someone and to share God's love, which is in your heart. But then, maybe it's the other way around. What if you're the one sitting in that chariot? Maybe you're here today, and you have some of those same status markers as the man in our story. You know, well-educated, career-minded, secure housing, family life, health, whatever it is. Maybe God wants to send someone to you. I'm struck by the way this Ethiopian eunuch has so much going on in his life. He has great riches, he has status, he has privilege, but he is spiritually poor. Or he feels like he doesn't quite know where he stands. And so God sends Philip to him. I wonder if you're here today and you might be wondering, how can I grow with God? How can I get a little closer to the Lord? How can I learn about this person named Jesus who I don't totally recognize? And maybe God's sending somebody your way. And would you invite them into your chariot and let them get closer to you as a person of God? So you can apply this story today into your own life situation. Are you the one that God is sending? Or are you the one God is sending someone to? I'll show you a picture here. You might have seen it before. It's an icon taken from a book. It's called Christ in the Margins by Brother Robert Lenz. He was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's a place where a lot of immigrants were coming across from the South and moving into that area. And he created this icon to show Christ on one side of the barbed wire looking through. I love this icon because there's ambiguity there. Maybe it's saying that Christ is the one who is imprisoned or stuck. Maybe he's the one who's with the marginalized, with those who are in this situation. Maybe how some of our own neighbors might feel. And would we come close to a Christ like that? Would we see Christ in a neighbor like that? But then maybe this is Christ coming to us. and we're the ones who are stuck behind the barbed wire. And he's coming to visit us. Maybe we're the ones imprisoned in the midst of all the things of life, and Jesus wants to come and set us free. Maybe Jesus is coming this week in the form of somebody you or I will meet. And are we open to receive their love and care in Christ's name? In the end, this story from the book of Acts shows us kind of two things. One is that the love of Jesus, the message of the gospel, it's expanding. It's getting bigger. It's going wider and wider to more and more people, all kinds of people. And no categories or adjectives can keep us away from being God's people together. And while God's love goes big and wide, it also comes close and personal too. As Philip got to know the Ethiopian eunuch, he got to know his life and his questions, the gospel was shared. It was lived out in a very real way. At the end of the story, the Ethiopian eunuch goes away rejoicing. The outcome of this encounter with a person of God is joy. It's not shame. It's not fear. It's not feeling bad about yourself. That's not the outcome. The outcome of this encounter is rejoicing in something good that has come into his life. So are you the one who's being sent to get closer this week? Who is God putting in your path to show and share the love of Christ? Or who is coming to you? And how can you open your heart, prepare yourself for the surprising work of the Spirit of God? What will that look like in your life, I wonder? Let's find out as we continue to walk together. Amen.